Okay, let's continue the Gemara of Lamed Hey on the base. We're going to try and make our way to the two dots, Lamed Vav and Aleph. And then we'll go back a little bit, and we'll see there are a number of Nakudes that we need to look at that are on the sheets. My claim is number 1 to 7. In fact, I missed out number 6 on the sheets. It's a mistake. The last one should be number 6. Huh? Not like it used to be. Okay, so we were learning. Let's have a look at the Gemara, the fourth wide line. Let's go back. Gufa. Amar Rav Yehuda Mashmul, V'chein Amar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav Yechon. Shemen Zayis, Mevarchin Olav, Boirei Pri Ha'etz. Olive oil, one makes the bracha. The bracha on it is Boirei Pri Ha'etz. And of course we brought this in because we were trying to work out why Yayin as a special bracha, so by, the Gemara brought in Shemen Zayis, and now that's why we're looking at it again. Says the Gemara, what exactly is the case? If you understand it simply that he just drank oil, he literally took a cup of oil and drank it, Oizuki Mazik Lei. What does that mean, oizuki mazikle? So let's have a look at Rashi again, because we'll see, if not today, the next time, that the Rambam seems to learn differently. But Rashi says, oizuki mazikle legufe. He's damaging his body, and therefore, va'inzu achila. It's not considered achila at all, shetu'una brocha. Degaba brocha v'ochal tuksiv. So Rashi said three nekudos over here. Point number one, it's damaging what? To his goof. Point number two, it's therefore not considered nachila. And with regard to brocha, says Rashi in point number three, you have to have a nachila, because it says v'ochalta. So if this is not a nachila, because it's damaging, then there can be no brocha. So how can you say that you make a brocha? Boreh Pri Ha'etz on Shemen, but it's not considered nachila, at least if you eat it, just plain, a cup of oil, can't be. How do I know it's not considered an achila? And it's considered damaging, says the Braisa, the Tanya. Hashoyse shemen shel truma. If somebody drinks shemen shel truma, he's a non-kayen, and he's not allowed to eat shemen shel truma. So normally the halacha is that if a non-kayen eats truma, as we mentioned last time, he pays a keren, because he's a ganav, but he also has to pay an additional fifth, the chaymash. This is all talking in a case where he has it b'shoigig, as Rashi adds, ashoyse shemen shel truma b'shoigig. However, the Braisa says quite clearly that what? That if he eats shemen shel truma, he pays the keren, but he does not pay the chaymash. Why does he pay the keren and does not pay the chaymash? So the keren he pays because at the end of the day he sold. But he wouldn't pay the chaymash. Why would he not pay the chaymash?
Not food.
Because not food, or at least he hasn't eaten it. He hasn't eaten it. Because that's not considered an achila. Says Rashi. To Tanya, we have a braisa that says, Delav bar achila hu, that it's not considered bar achila. Hashoyis the shemen shel truma b'shoigei, mshalim es hakeren kishar mazik es chaviroi b'mamoinoi, says Rashi. Just like anybody would damage their friend with their money, forget the fact that it's truma. Truma is obviously no worse because it's truma. If I take anything from you, even if it's not edible, and I eat it, if I eat your chair, am I have to pay back for your chair? Of course. What are you going to tell me? It's not bar achila. Who cares? It's not my chair. So when I take somebody's truma, before I relate to the fact that it's truma, I first have to remember that, one second, at the end of the day, I have taken somebody else's property away. So the first thing is to replace it. Now, that's the keren. With regard to the chaymesh, v'hei mashalim chaymesh, that is a specific truma halacha, and yet the gab achila, Rabbi Chaimesh, says Rashi, achila, quote unquote. See, the word achila is written in the Torah. Why? Because it says v'ish yoichal kodesh b'shkaga. Quite easily says when a person eats Kodesh. What Kodesh? In other words, Truma Bishkog, and it clearly says the word Achila. Prat Lamazik, which comes to exclude a mazik. In other words, it doesn't say in the Torah somebody who damages somebody's truma, rather it says somebody who eats. Ah, if it eats, if it says eat, then it's got to constitute an achila. If you eat that, if you eat something which is harmful to you, that's not considered an achila. Therefore, if the Braisa says if you eat somebody's shemen shel truma, you're chayav to pay the kerem, but you're not chayav to pay the chomesh, what does that clearly show us? That it's not considered an achila at all. And if it's not considered nachila, then you wouldn't be mechuyev to make a bracha at all, l'chayra, as Rashi says, because you didn't eat anything. Which, by the way, we have to remember this very, very important principle, which is emerging from Rashi, that if you eat something which is damaging to you, you do not make a bracha. Why not? Because it's not considered achila. Very, very important you say it. Okay, let's continue. The Braisa says, however, hasoch shemen shel truma. If you didn't eat it, but rather you smeared it, then what? Meshalem es hakeren u'meshalem es hachoymesh. Then you would eat. Then you would pay both the keren and the chomesh. What's the difference? Because over here, you are, as it were, eating it. Why are you eating? You're not eating. You're smearing it. As we said last time, no, because tzicha is kishtia. Smearing is like drinking. Therefore, when you smear the shemen, it is as if you are drinking it. And in this particular way, it's not damaging at all. To the contrary, it's very beneficial and enjoyable. Therefore, that is considered normal usage of the shemen, and therefore you'd pay not only the keren, but the chomesh as well. Okay, but either way, it's not so much the second point, it's more the first point that was of importance to us, which was what?
It's damaging, it's not
a but you see, it quite clearly, it's damaging, and if you eat it, you're not mechuyev to pay the chomesh. It doesn't constitute an eating at all. Therefore, we can't really understand how can you say that if you drink oil, you chayav to make a bracha, you didn't eat it, so it's not considered eating. So I think that's where we left off last time. So let's continue. Elo, third bottom line. It says the Gemara, Elo, rather we're going to have to say that what? We're not talking about, clearly we're not talking about a regular case, you just filled a cup of oil and drank it, but rather, Elo de ka'ochile al yedei pas. Rather, he ate it with bread. Says Rashi, two words, very important words, al yedei ha'pas, mishum lifton. What's lifton? No, that's pas. What's lifton? Lifton means like as a spice, as a delicacy,
a condiment.
In other words, he's not really interested in eating oil. He's really interested in eating bread. Bread maybe is not so tasty, so he adds the shemen to be the lifton, to be the flavoring and taste for the bread.
The smearing. Right before the Gemara said it's smearing. So what is it smearing on?
On his skin, on his goof. He lathers himself in shemen shel truma. He's not eating it at all. Here he's eating it, but not be'en. What does be'en mean? Be'en means plain. He's not eating it by itself, but rather with bread. So here, Meirav Rabbeisai, we're getting to a very, very important principle. And this is one of the most important principles that we're going to come across in this entire perek, which is Ikar and Tofel. Says the Gemara, I can't understand. Ihochi, if so, what does that mean, if so, if what? If you're telling me that that's the case, that we're dealing with a case where he didn't actually eat the shemen plain, but rather he ate the shemen together with bread, then Havilei passed Ikar, then the bread surely will be considered the ikar. The who was who?
The oil
is tofel. It's tofel. V'tanan, and we have a Mishnah which we're going to be learning a lot in Mitzvah Hashem in the future, where it says, Zeh haklal, kol shehu ikar. Whenever you have an ikar, ve'imoy tfeila, and with it a tofel, Mavarech al ha'ikar upoiter es atzvelo. You make a bracha on the ikar, and that exempts the tofel as well. Which would mean, in our particular case, if you're eating the shemen, but not by itself, rather with pas, you wouldn't be making a bracha at all on the shemen. Why? Because as Rashi told us, what is the function of the shemen? It's lifton. It's lifton. Therefore, the bracha on the pas would automatically include and exempt the bracha on the shemen as well. So we're back to square one. We still don't understand what is this case you're making a bracha on the shemen. Again, if you eat the shemen by itself, well, it's damaging, it's not considered an achila. And if you eat it with a bread, then it's not damaging, but it's a tofel, you wouldn't make a bracha at all. So what's the case? When do you actually make boir pri or eat on shemen? Says the Gemara, Elo, third suggestion, although we'll see it's very similar to the second suggestion. The koshosi le al yedei anigroin. He drinks it together with anigroin. What's anigroin? Zok Rashi. Al yedei anigroin. Second last Rashi. Third last Rashi. Min Michael Hu. It's a type of food. V'noisnin l'soichoi shemen. And you put shemen in it. V'shanu b'mishnah, it's mentioned in the Mishnayot, b'kama m'koymos, in many places, therefore even though it might look a strange looking word, which it does, never come across it before, it says Rashi, you'll see it's mentioned in a number of places in the Mishnayot. So it's a certain type of food, and if you want to know more details of the food, the Gemara now fills in a bit of the details, not really our subject, but once we mentioned it, it gets mentioned as well. Da'omar Rabba b'shmuel, anigroim, maya, the silka and sigroin maya the kulushalki. What does that mean? Says Rashi. The Omar Rabba Bashmul loy osta hacha. What does it mean? Loy osta hacha. What does the word osta mean? We've had it many times. Comes. Loy osta hacha means it doesn't really come here. It's not really our subject. We're not learning now all about a nigroin. Hello, rather lefi rusheilon. It is just to explain to us my mihu what it is. So we're not really studying at the moment the halachas of anigrin. It's just because it was brought in the Gemara. So the Gemara now veers off at least just to explain to us what exactly is anigrin. Okay. So what indeed is it? Maya the silka, mayim. It is water. Sheshalku bohem. That you cooked in them taradin, some type of vegetable. So basically like a type of soup.
Can you start with meat?
I'm not sure.
Salad could be.
Could be. And sigroin, says Rashi, is maya zakunu shulki. Says Rashi, kol mine yerek sholuk. Any vegetable which was cooked. So either it is silka, which is what we have on Rosh Hashanah night, the Gemara says, yeah. Or any vegetables. Either way, it's not that important to us at this stage of the game. So what is anigrain? Anigrain is the water in which you cook either the silka vegetable, or as the Gemara said, actually maybe any vegetable, and you drink the water, and for a bit of flavoring, you add the shemen. Okay, but we're back to square one. Why are we back to square one?
It's
again, it's an Ikron and Tophel in Cain. Havalea Nigroin, Ika, Veshemen, Tophel. Once again, the Anigroin is the Ika, and the Shemen is the Tophel. And we've already said that Tanan Zeha Klal, Kol Shu Ika, Veimoi Tfeilo, Mavorech Ala Ika, Poiter Eza Tfeilo. So if you didn't like the bread answer, then you're not going to like very much either the anigrain answer, because that's also an ikar and a tofel. Says the Gemara, no. The anigrain case is exactly the answer. Why? Because what are we talking about? Hocha b'maya sinon. This is what we're talking about. B'choshesh b'groinoi. What does that mean? B'cheshesh b'groinoi.
Minor pain in his throat.
He's got a minor pain in his throat. Chayshesh doesn't say he's in terrible agony or sakana in any way. Chayshesh. Now, we know, as Rashi is going to explain to us, there is on Shabbos an Issa midrabanon of refuah. Why is there an Issa of refuah on Shabbos? Chazal said, because we're worried, it's a gzeira, yishum shchikas samamonim. In those days, the way that medicine was formulated was used ground down the herbs, which if you actually do that, it's an Issa d'oraisa of meleches toichin, grinding. So we're worried if somebody is unwell and obviously is extremely concerned for his health and therefore might do a crazy thing. What might he do? He might come and grind herbs. And therefore we said don't take any medication on Shabbos. Which, by the way, is a huge discussion, not really our discussion for the moment, we'll just mention the headline, is that nowadays we don't grind herbs. At least, maybe in the stores or in the pharmaceutical companies they do, but we don't. Nobody ever, probably here, has ever taken a medication which he ground down a herb. He went to the pharmacist and he bought some tablets. Therefore, l'chayra, this whole gezeira shouldn't apply to us anymore. So it's a question. But the bottom line is, it does apply to unfortunately the Shulchan Aruch, and therefore that is the halacha of refuah on Shabbos. So now, we have somebody who is choshesh v'groina. The person is very sick, he can take medication. But someone who's a choshesh, choshesh means a what? Like you said, concerns, but nothing dangerous or extremely painful or anything like that. So what is the medication? Look at the top Rashi. Hachoshesh v'groina. V'tzorich loses voy shemen harbe. And he needs to place a lot of oil in his throat. Why? Because apparently that will soothe his throat. However, it's taken together with anigroin, in which case the havale shemen ikka the anigroin tafel. Because the shaman is harbeh. So for what is the main part over here? The main part is the shaman. The anigroin is just taken, I guess, to make the shaman more palatable. It's like, for example, when you take a tablet with water. The main part over here is the tablets. The waters just help you to swallow it. So here as well. I'm not interested at the moment in having an anigroin party. I need to have shemen to smooth my throat. I have a lot of it. In order to down it, or to make it more palatable, I mix it with the anigroin. In which case, what is the ick and what's the topple? The shemen is the ikka. And if the shemen is the ikka, so on the one hand, I don't have the ikka and toffle issue. Presumably, I don't have the other issue of being damaging. To the contrary, it's not damaging. It's very helpful. It's actually helping me. And therefore, it's considered achila. In which case, I would make a bracha.
At this point, we dismiss that as unhealthy.
No, that remains true. Under ordinary circumstances, it's unhealthy. But if a person has a throat ache, apparently it's recommended procedure.
So unhealthy, it doesn't...
No, you're not going to drink it. You're going to gargle it, maybe you'll swallow a little bit of it.
Right.
But you're not going to drink it.
You're not drinking a whole cupful. We'll see in a moment. Although it's a lot, we'll see exactly what you do with it. Says the Gemara, Zetanya. Because the Braisa says, now this is actually, of course, in Hilchos Shabbos, although we will be coming back to this Bezra Hashem in two daf time. In daf Lamed Ches. So I don't want to launch into the subject big time at the moment, but in daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, we'll be revisiting it, and Bezra Hashem will learn together then a very, very big subject which we discussed in the past, and that is brachas or non-brachas when you take medication. Very, very commonly asked, Shaila. And of course, there's different types of medication. There's medication which you swallow, there's medication which you don't swallow, there's medication which you enjoy, medication which is liquid, food, etc., etc., etc. So, let's just at least learn the Gemara as it appears in our sugya. Says the Gemara, the Tanya we've learned in a brisa, ha-choyshesh v'groinoi. If somebody is concerned with his throat, then what does he do?
Lo ye'arenu b'shemen t'chilo b'shabbat, avol noisein shemen harba l'toich anigroin u'boileya. I'm going to take this slowly because we're going to see there's a big machloikas, Rashi and Tosfos, how to learn this Gemara. So let's go slowly again. What does it say in the Brayso? Hachoishesh v'groinu. Somebody's concerned about his throat. Lo ya'arenu b'shabbos. B'shemen, says Rashi. Lo ya'arenu b'shemen b'shabbos. The mashilei. What does mashilei mean? Literal translation of mushroom means he delays. Means it sits in his mouth for a while. He's gargling the shemen. So the mashileh means he delays or he waits whilst the shemen is in his mouth. He doesn't actually swallow it at all. He just gargles it. It's sitting in his mouth and he gargles it. That apparently is the refuah. Now, the kibben deloy bolalei. Says Rashi, because he doesn't swallow it, muchacha milta, the matter is apparent, de la refuah, it's refuah. If I take a cup and I drink it, then what do I think you're doing? I'm having a drink. If I sit there gargling shemen, then obviously it's apparent that you're doing it for refuah reasons. And Chazal were only goes on refuah if it's apparent. The Chachomim Gozru Al Kol Refuois Hanikorai, says Rashi, very important word. What does Hanikorai mean? If it's visible, recognizable. So if you're gargling Shemen, so it is recognizable, and they made Xera. Why did they make Xera? Mishum Shrikas Samonim. Because of grinding of herbs, Shehi Malacha, which is a Malacha. Now, by the way, we need to ask an important question over here. It's not so much our subject, but it's important to point out. If you take medication on Shabbos, you might come to grind it, which is Nisa Deraisa. So I have a question. How are you allowed to eat on Shabbos anything? Maybe you'll come to cook it on Shabbos. How are you allowed to sit on a chair on Shabbos? Maybe you'll come to build it. How are you allowed to wear your suit? Maybe you'll come to sew it. But why don't make gzeira? But you might come and grind it. I mean, anything you use on Shabbos, you might make on Shabbos. It didn't make such a gzeira. Why? Well, what's the difference?
That was the way of medicine.
That's the way you eat. You cook food. That's where you make a chair. You build it. That's where you have a suit. You sew it. There's no other way to have a suit. So why you have to wear a suit on Shabbos? Maybe come and sew it.
Because I have to finish product.
Who does?
I have the suit. I'm not going to sew it.
The medication as well. So why he has it? All made. We're worried that if you allow him to do it, then next time we'll come and grind it. We're not saying don't grind it. We'll say don't have it even when it's already ground, because you might come to grind it. And also don't eat food when it's already cooked. You might come and cook it. And don't sit on your chair when it's already built, because you might come to build. I mean, there ain't lot of a safe. One word answer. Bohul. Bohul. Beis, hey, vav, lamed. Bohul means the person becomes frantic. When it comes to one's health, that's what I was hinting to before when I said a person can come and do a silly thing. Sitting on a chair, if the worst comes to worst, it doesn't have a chair, so you'll stand. Worst comes to worst, you don't have food, the case you're not going to be able to find food, so you won't eat. So if a person's ill, a person is very, very concerned with his health. The Gemara talks about a person is very concerned with his money. And the Shoyim say, so too a person is concerned with his health, and that's why we're worried he'll do a silly thing. So if a person eats food, we're not concerned he'll come and cook food. A person sits on a chair, we're not concerned he'll build a chair on Shabbos, because he's not so frantic about sitting, but he is frantic about his health. So if you don't let him, if you allow him to take medication, he might actually come and do a silly thing, and therefore we've got to put up a barrier. Sorry, don't even go near medication. Okay. So either way, we're saying, although Chazal were geizer not to take refuah on Shabbos, but the gzeir was only said in what type of case? If it is a case where it's concern, not serious illness, and it has to be nikah. What does nikah mean? It has to be clearly recognizable we're doing it for refuah purposes. Okay. Says Rashi. Again, it said in the Braisa, Lo Yarenu B'Shemen Tchilo. What does Tchilo mean? Kloima Lecha Tchilo Lo Yitein HaShemen B'Piv. Don't put the oil in your mouth L'Shem Irur for purposes of gargling. Rather Ki'im L'Shem Bliya, only for the purpose of swallowing. And then then, once it's in his mouth with intent to swallow, if you then want to let it sit there a bit, you can. In other words, it seems to be, I don't actually fully understand the materials, but it seems to be that it's not so much the gargling which is nikah, rather it's the way you put it in your mouth in the first place. If I put it into my mouth for the purpose of gargling, then it's nikah, then it's for refuah. If I put it in my mouth for the purpose of bliya, for the purpose of swallowing it, then even if eventually I do gargle, it's not nikah. I would have said, what do you mean, it's the same gargling. But apparently it all depends on how I put it in my mouth, and there's a different manner of putting it in my mouth. So in one case it's nikah, one case it's not. So that's what the braisa means. Lo ya'arenu b'shemen tchilo. Don't put it in your mouth tchilo, right from the beginning, for the purpose of gargling. Rather, what should you do? Look back into the Gemara. Avol noisein shemen harber. Rather, you put a lot of oil. L'toich anigroin. In the anigroin. Uboilea, and you swallow it. Now there is a very big problem with Rashi, the way Rashi learns, and Tosfos will discuss this. Again, what's the no and what's the yes? What can you not do and what are you allowed to do? You cannot take shemen plain. You cannot take the shemen plain and gargle it. Why? Because then it's nikah for refuah. Okay, so what can you do? That's the oster case. What's the mutter case?
Put oil in together with the anigra and swallow. Take it to the anigra.
So how many stages did I need to do to make it mutter? One second. Didn't we just say the whole problem is because you're gargling it? But if you swallow it, it's not a problem. So what's the anigrin business?
That's the way.
Why did you put it with anigrin? Why can't the brisa just say if you gargle it, it's asa, and if you swallow it, it's mutter? Why do I have to do two stages? I have to mix it with anigroin and also swallow it?
If you don't put it with anigroin, it's a takana.
It's a takana. We're not learning hilchas takana, we're learning hilchas of refuah on Shabbos. We're concerned with hilchas Shabbos. Don't do an act which is nikah, that is to say with refuah. Gargling is nikah. Swallowing is not nikah. So the Braisa simply should have said, don't gargle, rather swallow.
It's going to be recognizable that if you put straight oil into your mouth, it's for purpose.
No, but Rashi says, if I do it l'shem bliya, if I do it for the purpose of swallowing, then it's not nikah, even if it's not mixed with anigra.
And you're back to case one. You said you shouldn't make brocha at all.
Could be, but I'm asking you for brochas. I'm asking you for Shabbos. This braisa is a braisa, nothing to do with brochas. We're using it to understand brochas, but we're first now dealing with Hilchos Shabbos. So Shabbos does not allow you to gargle because it's nikah. So what do you do? Swallow it. Why do you have to mix it with anigroin? So you might tell me, no, because when you mix it with anigroin, then it's no longer recognizable that it's for refuah, because I see that what you're putting in your mouth, I need to, I don't even see the shemen. Fine. Well, then you don't need to swallow it. Marsha. I don't need two things. Either one should be okay.
As soon as you take a cup of oil, put it to your mouth to swallow, everyone's going to recognize
that's
that. That is for refuah purposes.
Rashi says it's only nikkah if I do it for gargling purposes. If I do it for swallowing purposes, I think you're hungry.
But no one does that.
It's a good shaila. Fair question. But Rashi didn't say that. Rashi says,
we just
lo yitei nashem and befiv l'shem iru, Rashi says. Look at again the Rashi tchila. Lecha tchila lo yitei nashem and befiv l'shem irur. Don't put it in your mouth for purposes of gargling, ki im l'shem blia, but rather for the purposes of blia. So you're right. You could, in theory, ask, what's the difference? However you put shem in your mouth, it looks bizarre. Because you don't normally drink oil, so it must be for a fool. But Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says, no, if you put it in for gargling purposes, that looks suspicious. People will say you're clearly doing it for a fool. But if I put it in for blia, for swallowing, it doesn't look suspicious. I'll say the guy's very first. So in order to make it muta, you have to now put it in your mouth in a manner where it's not recognizable. So l'chayra, I need to either swallow it or mix it with anigrin, but why do I need both? So because of this question, Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. We'll see in a moment, he learns a completely different shot. Although, at the end, he simply says, do you know how we could answer up Rashi? You have to mix it with anigroin or swallow it. Not and, rather, or. When it says, uboileya, it means, oi, boileya. So in fact, the Mishnah, the Braisa, is giving you two options. You cannot take it plain and gargle. But if I take it not plain, rather mixed with anigroin, or I do take it plain, but I swallow it, in either way, it does not look anymore like I'm taking it for refuah, and then it'll be mutter. So it's not both, rather it's either or. Now, I want to point out a very, very important point. Look at the top Rashi, HaChoshesh B'Groino. Rashi says, top line, V'tzorich loses boy shemen harbe. You've got to put in a lot of oil. Rashi says, the shemen is the ikka, v'anigroin is tofel. Now I want to point out something which is very, very, very important. Extremely important. And we are, Be'ez Hashem, going to have to remember this now throughout the whole perek. It's not our subject, but I want to mention it now because it hits you in the face when you see this Gemara. The Gemara says, I don't understand what is the case that you're making a bracha on oil. Can't mean you drink it plain because that's damaging. So it has to be that you're drinking it with something else. What was suggestion number one? Bread. Gemara says, sorry, ikavatoffel. Suggestion number two, anigroin. Sorry, ikavatoffel. Now, l'chayra, there's a very basic question to be asked in this Gemara, which, when I learned the Gemara, immediately bothered me. We've already established that ikar and tofel, you don't make a bracha on tofel. So what's the point of coming up with a new suggestion of anigroin when you have exactly the same kashya? Anigroin is also ikar and tofel.
We've changed its purpose. Purpose from food to refuah.
Therefore what? What would you have thought?
Therefore, if the purpose is refuah, then the ikar is that ingredient which constitutes the refuah.
No. You're jumping the stage. You're going to the Gemara's answer. I'm still at the Gemara's question. The Gemara's answer is that we're talking about refuah. But the Gemara didn't know that in the beginning. Before we introduced refuah, that's the Gemara's answer, you're right. But what was the Gemara's initial question? What was the Gemara initially trying to suggest? So you mix it with a nigrin. Why? Doesn't say why. You're right, the Gemara's answer is refuah. But before we arrived at refuah, what did we think? So why is he mixing it with the anigrain? He wants to eat anigrain and add a bit of shemen. That's what the Gemara say. Ikur and Tofa. Now you're right, the Gemara's answer is no, it's refuah, so really the shemen is the ikur. But I'm asking, before we got to refuah, this bothered me very much. Why are you bringing me the anigrain example when the ikka and toffle issue is so obviously a question once again? You're not with me, Mom.
I am. I hear what you're saying, but when the Gemara gave that answer, it knew it for us. So maybe the person the Gemara was talking to,
if we knew it,
they knew.
If we knew it, then we should have obviously understood we're talking about refuah. Otherwise, we're just back to the same question. Why do Gemara have to ask it for a question
all the time? They give an answer, and then someone says, oh.
Could be.
What is the normal way that one makes a nigra?
With shemen.
Not a little bit of shemen.
So that's my question. If that's the normal way, so it's obvious that we're going to have the same old ikur and toffle issue. So what was Mara's suggestion?
Well, Mara's suggestion is that there's a different recipe.
That's the most terrace. Again, you're up to the terrace, you're jumping the stage. I'm not up to there yet. The Gemara asks, what are you making a bracha on shemen? Says the Gemara, with bread. No, ikur and toffle. Says the Gemara, oh, I've got it, a nigrain. Why is that any better? Again, ikur and toffle question. So you're right, eventually the Gemara said, I've got an answer called refuah, but I'm asking before then. Didn't the Gemara not realize we're going to bump into ikur and toffle issues when it suggested a nigrain in the first place? We've already established the ikur and toffle principle, just in the line before. The answer is, and this is why it's so important. And we're going to remember this, that is Hashem, throughout the whole parak. There are at least two different types of ikur and toffles. It's a different ikur and toffle. That's why the Gemara asked it once again. The Gemara did not realize that we're running into ikur and toffle issues. Except the Gemara asked once again, this is the ikur and toffle. But there would have been room to suggest that this is not a case of ikur and toffle. So the Gemara, no, it actually is. Why would this be different to the first case of bread? The answer is because there are two reasons why something can be classified as a toffle. Either in quantity or in quality. When I put oil on bread, if I put jam on bread, if I put jam on a cracker, what bracha do I make? Why not on the jam?
Toffle.
One second. Who said there's more cracker than jam? Come to my house, look how much chocolate spread the kids put on the bread. So why are you telling me that the cracker is the ikka? There's more jam than cracker. The answer is because we're talking about the purpose of it. That's why it's toffle, not because of the quantity. Because I'm not having a jam party, I'm having a cracker party. I'm not sure actually when I see my kids, but in theory I'm eating crackers in order to make it palatable, so I make it flavorable, so I add a bit of jam. However much I add doesn't matter.
In the other case it's the herring.
Maybe that's a good case. Maybe that's a good example. So the jam is serving the cracker. Another classic example is an ice cream and a cone. What bracha do you make here? An ice cream and a cone? One bracha. The cone might well be much bigger than the whole ice cream.
You don't make a second bracha.
Don't make a second bracha, even against the cone. Unless you happen to enjoy the cone. Sometimes a cone.
Sugar cone. Sugar cone.
Who doesn't enjoy the cone? Oh, it's a plain cone. The cone is, I don't know, coated in chocolate and then taken as a different child. Now, there the cone also, which is the plain, non very tasty cone, might be much bigger than the ice cream. So why are we considering this a topple? Because it's serving the purposes of the ice cream. That's why it's topple. So in quality, not in quantity, in quality, it's considered a topple. Meaning, what's more important over here? The ice cream is the important part. The cone is just there to help out. The cracker is the important part. The jam is there to help out. Irrelevant of what's bigger or smaller or more or less, that's irrelevant.
Or which is more precious, bracha.
All irrelevant, right? Like the cone. The cone is mezonos. The ice cream is just charcoal. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, what am I interested in eating? The ice cream. Everything else is subservient to the ice cream. However, when I have anigroi and shemen, there, the reason why the shemen is considered topple is because it's a small amount. Rashi didn't say over here it's lifton.
Harbe. Someone said harbe. Yeah.
What does lifton mean? As a flavoring. Rashi didn't say that I add shemen to the anigroin for lifton purposes. I add it for whatever reason. The reason why it's topple is because it's less of it. This is made up of two parts and a smaller part. Less of it. When it comes to refuah, which is the Gemara's answer, Rashi says there's shemen arven. Oh, the Arabic. So switch from being a topple to me. Which now answers my previous question. The Gemara said, why am I making a bracha on shemen? It's damaging. No, I ate it with bread. So the Gemara, ick of a topple. So the Gemara says, okay, let me have another go. Anigroi. So I said, I don't understand. Ikar and Tophel, I've already explained that to you. No, it's not so poshut. Because we've only explained Ikar and Tophel with regard to important and unimportant. But who said Ikar and Tophel will be true also to small versus big? That's why the Gemara had another go. Maybe a Nigron will be a good suggestion. The Gemara says, no, actually Ikar and Tophel is an issue here as well. But you didn't make a silly mistake in suggesting it. The reason why you suggested it is not because this is a lifton. It's made up of two parts. Maybe you have to make two brachas. Who cares which one is more important? Which one is more in quantity? Well, I said, no, over here we would apply the ikar and tofel as well. Which means we're being taught. That's why I said it's so important to point out, even though Ikra and Tophel is not really our study, but we're going to bump into it many times this parak. We're always going to have to bear in mind which Ikra and Tophel are we dealing with. Ikra and Tophel, i.e. as in the main thing, and not the main thing, or the majority versus the minority. But it really hits you in the face when you see that the Gemara jumps up and down twice with Ikar and Tophel. It clearly must be that it's two different types of Ikar and Tophel, otherwise it's bizarre. Bizarre. Imagine I would say to you, can you do me a favor, please? We're looking for a Baal Keira in our shul. Yes, no problem. I'll send you my 10-year-old son. I'm sorry, he's a cotton. Okay, I'll send you my 11-year-old son. He's a cotton. Why are you sending him twice? First time round, maybe you didn't realize. But now that I told you there's a principle called cotton, what's the point of suggesting it again when it's the same kasha? Doesn't make any sense. That's exactly what the Gemara did by us. Bread. Oh, we didn't realize the Ikra and Tophel rule. Okay, I'm going to introduce it to you. A Nigra. What do you mean? I just already told you, Ikra and Tophel, you've got to make a bracha on the top. The answer must be, this is a different type of Ikra and Tophel. That's why I didn't realize the Ikra and Tophel could be applied over here as well. So if I say to you, I'll send you my 10-year-old son, and you say, no, he's the cotton, and I'll say to you, okay, I'll send you my 11-year-old son, maybe I thought that 11 is really considered bummit. So I'm not making a silly mistake. Which you turn around to me and say, no, 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 cotton. Oh, you mean 11 is also a cotton. Oh, okay. So the one thing over here as well. But our Negroin is also Ikivatoffel. Okay, so how did we make it not Ikivatoffel? The main part over here is the Shemen. Why is it Rashi? Because it's Shemen Harabe. It's Shemen Harabe.
What does that mean, Shemen?
A lot of oil. Most of it is Shemen, the rest is just our Negroin, that's the minority. Yeah.
They say Harabe. Why does that matter at that point? If it's the Ikir, does it have to be the Harabe?
Fair point. But that was never the issue. The issue was because of the quantity. So I've switched the quantity. You're asking, but it's also now switched quality.
It doesn't have to be a refuah anymore if you switch the quantity.
Fair point. We're just giving an example of why a person would do this. Which as I pointed out before, otherwise it's difficult to say why a fellow would do such a thing. It's damaging. No, in this case, this is why you do it. But then, you add Shem and Harim. Okay. So we finally got the case. When the Brisa says, if you drink Shem and you say, we had four suggestions, only number four worked. Suggestion number one was, you drank it plain, can't be, it's not achi. Suggestion number two was, with bread, Ikra and Tophel was no bracha at all. With anigroi, Ikra and Tophel was no bracha at all. Suggestion number four, if there's Shem and Harve with anigroi, so then it's not the Tophel, it's jolly well the Ikra, you'd make a bracha. Which bracha?
Is that a fourth suggestion or a clarification of the third?
Either way. Technically you're right, it's a clarification of the third, but it's four cases altogether. Halacha l'maisa, if you wanted to summarize this sugya, you say case number one, plain oil, no bracha. Oil with bread, no bracha. Oil with anigroi, no bracha. A lot of oil with a nigroin, bracha. Which bracha? The Gemara doesn't say Harabe. Rashi adds in Harabe as explaining why refuah is better. Sorry, quite right. I stand corrected. Avol noisim shon Harabe latzeich hanigroin. Right. That's what Rashi is pointing out, that once you put Harba Shemen, now the Shemen becomes
Ikka.
Okay. We'll get to Tosis in a moment. Now, says the Gemara, let's just finish off. Says the Gemara, Pshita. What does Pshita mean?
It's obvious.
Interesting type of question. I spent a day and a half working out what the case is, and when I finally get there, you tell me it's not obvious. What does the Gemara mean? It is obvious. In all seriousness, I wasn't joking. What does the Gemara mean, Pshita? How can you have 20 lines of the Gemara trying to explain a case, but eventually we got there, you say it's Pshita? Well, obviously it's not so possible.
It's obvious that you have to make a bracha to swallow.
Right. The case wasn't poshut. But the din is perfectly straightforward. We had a technical issue, we just couldn't work out the case. When would you make a bracha at all? Either because it's damaging or because it's not the ikka, it's the top of it. But once we got to the case, fine, so I don't have any damaging issues, and I don't have any ikka and topple issues. Oh, so it's regular food and it's extract from a food, so say vore priori, so almost a chiddush. So not that the case is poshut, the din is poshut. Obviously you make a bracha. No. Not so obvious, says the Gemara. Why not? Mahu de tema. You might have thought, kiven de l'rafua kom chavein, because he is intending for rafua loy livrich oleo klal. maybe he wouldn't make a bracha on it at all. Kamash malon. Therefore, being taught, given the isle hanoamine, because he is benefiting it. What does benefiting mean? What's the enjoyment? The refuah is the enjoyment, or besides for the refuah? Besides for the refuah, Rashi says, therefore, bo'i beruchei, therefore you do have to make a bracha. Says Rashi, de'es le'ha no'ominei, levad ha'refuah. What does that mean, levad ha'refuah? Not that the hanoah is the fact that I'm being healed and I'm very excited. Besides for the refuah, yesh lo hanoas achila, he's actually enjoying it. And nigroin with shem and is extremely tasty. No, so everybody should be asking a question over here, one word question. Shooter. So it's still poshut. Why is it not poshut anymore? At the end of the day, you're having food and you're enjoying it, so make a bracha. But why am I making a bracha at the end of the day over here?
You might think that because it's for refuah purposes,
in other words, I might think that what's very important, the intention. I happen to be enjoying it, but that's not why I took it. That's what the Gemara means. That's why the main word is komachaving. It can't be that we thought you don't make a bracha because we thought that you're not benefiting it. And a kamash malon is, no, you are benefiting it. If you're benefiting it from it, then obviously you make a bracha. No! I always knew that you're benefiting from it. But I still thought you don't make a bracha. Why? Because that's not the purpose and not the reason why you took this food in the first place. The intention was for refuah. Therefore, I might have thought, very important principle, that when you take food for medicinal purposes, even if you benefit from it, you don't make a book. Komash malon, I'm being taught that what? That I do, providing that you benefit. So l'chayra, we've just arrived at an enormous principle. That if you take it for a poor and you don't benefit from it, you don't enjoy it, then what? In other words, the Gemara didn't turn around and say, your Havamina was silly. Gemara just says, as long as you benefit, you make a bracha. If you don't, you don't make a bracha, even though you're eating. So it's a good quiz question. How can it be that you eat food, normal food, you don't make a bracha? So one case was, I was in the pork if it damages you. Here it's the opposite. Not only does it not damage you, it actually helps you. It heals you. Still don't make a bracha. Unless you benefit.
So my wife told me to eat my spinach because it's good.
My brother sent me an email recently. I got asked the following shaila. He says, somebody's wife took a meaty knife, cut onions on a milky chopping board, and served it in milky plates. And he wants to know what to do with the plates, the knife, the onions, and the wife.
In that order.
So that's what the Gemara is really teaching us over here, that you do not make a bracha on refuah except if you happen to benefit, which is very, very, very negiah, especially when it comes to children. A lot of children's medication is deliberately made to be very tasty, otherwise they won't swallow it, so I'm afraid they have to make a bracha. On adult medication, I'm not talking about, by the way, just a pill that you swallow without even eating it. We're not discussing that. Even if it would be a liquid medicine, it has zero taste or foul taste, I enjoy it, you don't like a broccoli. It would have strawberry flavored ibuprofen for kids, that's different. Nurofen.
So if I take a pill with the flavor itself there that I don't necessarily enjoy,
right.
We'll get to that. Okay. So you do make it.
You're enjoying it.
I won't enjoy it. I won't enjoy the drink.
So we'll see the difference between water and liquid.
So you do that. You need to make a broccoli.
On what? Only if it's good taste. If it's the regular plain taste or no taste, or foul taste, you're not making it. Okay, we have to hold it over here. Now, Tuesday, I'm not going to be in town. The next show has to be on Thursday. Tomorrow I'm not here either. On Wednesday I have a show in a different place that I have to go, so I can't really reschedule. So we have a few days now, but there's plenty to be getting on with. Number one, before you see anything, have a look at the top tasters, and then the second tasters, top two tasters. We've introduced the top tasters. I just want to learn with you the top line of tasters, because it's a tricky lotion, but the concept is not tricky at all. Remember, the Braisa says, don't gargle the shemen. Rather, what should you do? You should mix it with anigroin and swallow it. And remember we said, why do I need to do both? I can just swallow it. So Tosafot says, Pirush Rashi lahash hoisoi, to gargle it. Then in time, in Cain, lifloig velisni bedidah, tricky expression. Let us differentiate bedidah in this case itself. Meaning, let's keep to plain shemen, without getting involved in anigroin, and I can still make the differentiation. What can I say? If you gargle it, you're in trouble. And if you swallow it, you're okay. Why must I mention anigroin? My iria, why do you have to talk about al yedei anigroin? Afilu be'en, even if it would be plain without anigroin, it would also be shari leboiloi. It would be mutter to swallow la'alta immediately. That's Rashi's, that's Tosafot's kasha. So you'll see the rest of the Tosafot. I just want to learn that first line because the first line is tricky. Now, Be'ez Hashem next time, which will be on Thursday, we'll start off Be'ez Hashem with the Tosafot number one, and then Tosafot number two. Tosafot number two is fairly straightforward. One and two. Top two Tosafot. Okay, then on the sheet over here, there's two parts. There's the Yayin part and the Shemen part. So from 1 to 4, 1, 2, 3, 4 is the Yayin part. And then 5, there's a mistake on the sheet, it shouldn't say 7, it's really 6. That's the Shemen part. Now again, I just want to briefly introduce it so you know what we're dealing with. If you remember, the Gemara said, why do you make a special bracha on wine? So the Gemara says, because it's soid, fills you up. So the Gemara asks the question, well, why don't you make Birkas Hamazon on Yayin then? Birkas Shalosh. Birkas Shalosh means Birkas Hamazon. And so the Gemara discussed why we actually don't make that bracha. So the Rishonim discussed a very important shaila, which is Halacha L'Maisa. If you would bench Birkas Hamazon on Yayin, does that help? B'dievet. Chatzilah, the Gemara says that we don't. But B'dievet, would it help or would it not help? That's discussion number one on the sheet. Rabbeinu Yoina. And then you'll see Lahalacha, number two, three, and four. Shulchan Aruch and the Bi'ur Halacha, written by the Chofetz Chaim, will discuss that. That's point number one. Point number two is the Rambam, number five on the sheet, says, if you look in the bold words, Im Shosa Hashem and Levadoi, what does he do? Mavarech Olav Shachar. Which is extremely puzzling, because we learned in our Gemara, the way Rashi explained, that Shemen is damaging, and you won't make a bracha at all. Not that you don't say Barir Prihayis. You don't make a bracha at all. So why is Rashi over here saying, why is the Rambam saying over here that you make Shahakal? That's a question of a Kesef Mishnah on the last Maramokim on the sheets. Plenty to be getting on with. So again, top two tastes him. We can see all the Maramokimis, number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And then Be'ez Hashem will continue the next tomorrow, which is Kemah and Kitzel. Yeah.